This podcast is brought to you with thanks to Aspire Planning Group, creating a better financial future for you and your family.
Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That's a great goal! Cahill, it's his day! Now can't spell it, Ronaldo! You just cannot write scripts like this.
FNR News with Louise Taffer on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the FNR News Hour on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. You're with Louise Taffer. And we are 24 days away from the FIFA World Cup. Isn't that exciting? The lines are open if you want to join in the conversation. That number is 03 99 44 99 99, or you can certainly tweet to me at FNR underscore radio or Louise underscore Taffer if you want to discuss anything. Well, you're listening to the daily FNR News Hour, and I must say it's been a pretty emotional weekend in football. Juventus legend Gianluigi Buffon and Barcelona legend Andres Iniesta are moving on from their respective clubs. Juventus's number one, Gigi Buffon, leaves after 17 years, while Barcelona's masterful midfielder closes the door after 22 years and 670 appearances. Now, Barcelona fans weren't the only La Liga team in tears. Atletico Madrid striker Fernando Torres played his final match for his boyhood club, and he was able to write the script. Torres sprinkled some stardust, striking two shots into the back of the net. All of that reaction to come later in the hour. Well, five-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi has won the European Golden Shoe for the fifth time with 34 goals in the La Liga. Messi finished ahead of Liverpool sensation Mo Salah by two and Tottenham's Harry Kane, who finished on 30 goals. In the FA Cup final, Chelsea defeated Manchester United 1-0. No silverware for United this season. We'll hear from Antonio Conte, who says he's a serial winner, and Jose Mourinho, who says he's taking a holiday. Socceroo Tom Rogic and his team Celtic have downed Motherwell 2-0 to claim a historic double treble, a feat unprecedented in the Scottish game. Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers has steered the Glasgow side to his sixth domestic trophy in two seasons in charge. Well, maybe he can show Jose Mourinho how to do it. In Italy, Inter Milan have come from behind to snatch the final UEFA Champions League place in their 3-2 victory at Lazio. While in the French Ligue 1, Monaco and Lyon have qualified for the UEFA Champions League, with Marseille missing out. Former National Soccer League winners, the Brisbane Strikers, have pulled out of the A-League expansion process. The Strikers have withdrawn from the race, which will see those two teams join the competition from 2019-2020, citing issues with FFA's process. The club's chief executive, Bruce Dinsdale, said their bid had well-capitalised and passionate backers, but decided against buying in at the 11th hour. Their withdrawal leaves FFA with two options to expand the league in Queensland, that being Brisbane City and Gold Coast United. Well, those are the headlines. The Socceroos have congregated in Turkey ahead of their friendly against Czech Republic. But their Marwick squad are being put through their paces in warm conditions. And we heard from the new kid on the Socceroos block, Melbourne City's 19-year-old winger, Daniel Arzani, who's aiming to make his full international debut at the World Cup in Russia.
Obviously, first and foremost, I'm really excited to be in. Really happy that all the boys have been very welcoming so far. And the hotel we're staying at the moment is absolutely massive. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of golf buggies laying around just to get around. So, to be honest with you, it hasn't actually hit me yet. So I haven't had that like overwhelming excitement yet, but that'll probably come in the next couple of days. Yeah, really excited. I was really looking forward to it when I woke up this morning. I just want to get the first session out of the way, see where I'm at. For me, I think I just got to prove that I'm invaluable to the team and that I have something to add. And I think that'll come with just doing my own thing and hopefully doing well. I think there was a lot of people I watched growing up. I watched a lot of like Harry Kewell, Tim Cahill, Bresciano, and they're all absolutely amazing players, and they were like the golden age of the golden generation of Australian football, and I really enjoyed watching them, and I've based my game around a lot of them as well. I think coming into camp it was a bit frightening at first because I don't actually know anyone. But knowing that I've got Timmy and he's a good friend of mine is very helpful.
Final couple, Daniel. How much confidence do you bring into camp here on the back of what was a fantastic breakout A-League season for you?
Yeah, definitely. But I think coming into national team camp as such a young player, you're kind of like starting over again. So, you know, I've just got to prove my worth and maybe more so than anyone else as well. It'd be a dream come true. You know, since I was young, I always dreamed of playing for Australia, playing for the Socceroos. And to think that that could be happening in the next couple of weeks is amazing.
Daniel Arzani in Socceroos camp talking about how it's a little bit frightening coming into the setup because he doesn't know anyone other than the Socceroos talisman, Tim Cahill. And obviously, you know, as a young player, you have to start over again to prove yourself. Well, 19 of the 26 Socceroos have now arrived in Turkey, and the final seven players, Aaron Moy, Josh Risden, Matty Ryan, Matthew Yerman, Milos Deganek, Tom Rogic and Mile Yedinak, are scheduled to land at varying stages over the coming week. Shifting our attention to the National Women's Soccer League in the US, another one of our young stars is 18-year-old Matilda Ellie Carpenter, and she's no stranger to playing for the Australian Women's National Team. More than 20 appearances is pretty outstanding given she was born in 2000. Now, Ellie is playing for Portland Thorns in the NWSL, and at the weekend, she not only scored the game's decider, but while she was at it, Carpenter became the youngest goal scorer in the league's history.
Plenty of room here for Rebecca Quinn, the rookie. This year's third overall draft pick. Forward now for Portland. Heath in the box, decides to cross it, the extra touch, a goal for Portland! Ellie Carpenter becomes the youngest player to score in NWSL history. The 18-year-old from Australia scores in the 69th minute of action and puts Portland Thorns FC up 1-0. Take another look at that. A huge goal for Portland, a much-needed one, and for Carpenter, a history-making finish.
And this is just a great goal by the Portland Thorns. Taking advantage of that space out wide that's left open by Didasco, who is pushed forward. They find open Tobin Heath, who plays a great through ball, and especially in this rain, so difficult to defend. Plays in behind the back line of the Washington Spirits. Miscleared, finds its way to the open Ellie Carpenter. All she has to do is redirect it, put it in the back of the net.
18-year-old Matilda Ellie Carpenter, the youngest goal scorer in the NWSL. Well, Carpenter and the Portland Thorns are back at home on Friday when they host the Utah Royals at Providence Park. Staying with our Aussies abroad, Tom Rogic's Celtic have completed a historic double treble after they defeated Motherwell 2-0 in the Scottish Cup final.
Brecker. Terrific turn from Rogic!
He's got a couple of yards of space. There are few better in...
There's a bit more than that. Boost it quickly in. Fabulous finish!
And here, a bit like Rogic takes up that position just outside the box. The left foot to control the ball. And then how sweetly does he meet it with his right? Supposedly, of course, no one is getting anywhere near it. Absolutely brilliant goal from McGregor.
Tierney on his way. Rogic. Dembele so good at holding it up just like that. Cham! Scottish Cup, they want to do the double dribble.
Well, he doesn't score it, but Dembele plays his part here.
It is a unique double treble for Brendan Rodgers and Celtic. A clean sweep, two seasons running. A green and whitewash of all trophies in Scotland. History in the making.
Well, if you're just joining me, I'm recapping some of the weekend's action. No Scottish team has ever achieved consecutive trebles. Well, Tom Rogic's Celtic have done just that, and relatively easy after defeating Motherwell 2-0. Celtic's manager, Brendan Rodgers, spoke after the game.
Well, it's a historic day, obviously, for players and everyone that's here. You know, as a spectator or media, it's for the first time for it to have been achieved, and such a great footballing country, you know, with a whole raft of great players and managers. So for us to have done it and be the first team to have done it is it's a real privilege and a real special day.
What did you make of the game?
I thought we made a good start. I thought that we could have been cleaner with our passing at times. But I thought we imposed ourselves on the game early on. I thought we coped well defensively with, you know, the direct ball, the two boys, Mayne and Bowman, a real handful for teams, and they've shown that, you know, in this competition and in the league. So I thought we dealt with that reasonably well, or better than reasonably well, but then we started to open up the pitch with our passing. Then scored two brilliant goals. Like Callum's goal is, you know, to score that in a cup final, and again he's showing what a quality footballer he is. Produce really good performances when you need it. It's a real mark of the group, but we need to improve. We need to get better again. We dropped too many points this year, you know, especially at home. So there's lots for us to push towards next season. And then, like we say, we enter every competition to win, and that'll be the idea from the start of the season again. You want to be as successful as you possibly can. So the day comes whenever I get moved on from here or vice versa, whatever happens, then at least I know I've given Celtic absolutely everything.
Celtic's manager Brendan Rodgers after he saw his team through to a double treble. Now, Hoops fans will be thrilled. The trophies won't be going anywhere. They'll just need a nice polish. In more match post-match reaction, Celtic's Kieran Tierney said to win, it's beyond anyone's wildest dreams.
It's no Song Kenya at all. What this team achieved that nobody else has done. So it'll take a few years to realise what we've achieved.
You dominated the game throughout. Is that something that you set out to do right from the off?
I think you're always going to try to go there and dominate. The first half especially, we were great. Second half, we done what we needed to do and we won the game.
What's been the key to replicating the success of last year?
Yeah, of course, last year was the best it's ever going to be, treble invincible. It's very unlikely that will ever happen again, but to come and do the treble under the pressure that we're under is brilliant.
The fans are singing your name. How much are you looking forward to enjoying the celebrations this year properly?
Yeah, I'll enjoy this. I've got a few weeks off now. Bruni's got the testimonial tomorrow, so hopefully it's the full house that he deserves.
What are your ambitions now going forward? Because can it get any better than this?
I'm not sure, it's the double treble. I'm sure there'll be expectations for more in the future, but we'll see. No, this is beyond anybody's wildest dreams, any Celtic fan, because it's never been done before. And to basically live the dream for everyone at this stadium today is brilliant. Yeah, the Lisbon Lions, they're up there on their own. What they've done will probably never be done again. We've made our own history, and it's just brilliant for everyone involved.
Celtic's Kieran Tierney. Well, congratulations to the Hoops on their historic win. This is the FNR News Hour on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. On the other side of this break, FA Cup, and we take a look at the farewells, so you might want to grab your tissue box.
Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That's a great goal!
Cahill, it's his day!
Now can't spell it, Ronaldo!
You just cannot write scripts like this.
FNR News. With Louise Taffer on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
This is the FNR News Hour on FNR Football Nation Radio, and good afternoon to wherever you're tuning in from. Well, in the FA Cup final, Chelsea have defeated Manchester United 1-0, and you could say the Blues salvaged their season after Eden Hazard's penalty proved to be the only goal both sides could produce.
Hazard, and Michael Oliver gives Chelsea an FA Cup final penalty. Hazard rolls it past De Gea, and Chelsea lead Manchester United at Wembley in the 2018 FA Cup final.
Well, he was very composed. It's a good penalty. He waits for De Gea to go down,
but he loses out, and Courtois has to make the save from Rashford. A lax moment from Chelsea, and Marcus Rashford nearly punished them. And it's turned aside and then followed up, but it's not going to count for Alexis Sanchez. He's offside.
He sticks his arm out.
Is that the moment that Manchester United lose any chance of winning the FA Cup? If Antonio Conte is leaving, what a way to do it. Winning the FA Cup 12 months on from losing the previous final.
Yes, in the post-match press conference sat a champagne-drenched Chelsea manager Antonio Conte.
In this moment, to win the FA Cup against a really strong team, a really great team like Manchester United, we must be pleased. We must be pleased because it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But I'm very happy. I'm very happy for our fans. I'm very happy for my players, because the fans and especially the players, they have deserved this this win, to win an important trophy in this season that for sure it was very, very difficult to finish in this way, to win an important trophy like this. I think it shows with great commitment of my players. It shows with great desire to finish the season in the right way, despite the great difficulty that we have had.
You're listening to the FNR NewsHour with Louise Taffer. And Chelsea's Antonio Conte revealed just how tough being a manager of a big club in the English Premier League is, and said that he can't change who he is.
There are moments that you have a lot of questions for yourself, you understand? But I think that also in this season, in a difficult season like this, I showed that I'm a serial winner. And this is the truth. And to win in this way, in this season, gives me more satisfaction than other my wins in the past. Our job is not simple. It's not simple, and I understand that the club can make a decision, a positive decision, negative decision. But I'm the first to understand, because I'm the coach of a great, an important club in England, in the world, and it's right that the club demands me a lot. My way is always the same. Hard work and to build a strong mentality with my players. I can't change. And I'm this, and I think that my past speaks very clear as a player and as a manager, because I repeat, and you can tell what you want, but I'm a serial winner, and I show this also in England, in a difficult moment for the club.
A small piece of shining relief, silverware for Antonio Conte and Chelsea after a difficult season. Conte adding there, he is a serial winner, and I think we felt he's been a bit downcast majority of the season because he knows he hasn't met some of the expectations. There's still 12 months left on his contract. We wait to see what the Chelsea board decide for the Italian manager. Well, on the other hand, another manager who has finished second in the English Premier League brought back no trophies to Old Trafford this season. I'm talking about Manchester United's Jose Mourinho. And you can imagine he had plenty of words after the FA Cup final defeat.
Do you think?
I thought so, yeah.
I don't agree.
But you had
chances in the second half to get extra time, you must have felt. Well, with your questions, I know already where I am. And I don't have a big desire to speak. So I think it's better to say congratulations to the winners. And that's it.
You're listening to the FNR NewsHour, and Jose Mourinho doesn't like to lose. But now it's time to go on a summer holiday and reflect on the season that was and plan for the future. Mourinho also plans on reading all of the journalists' articles now that he has lots of spare time.
Especially because now I'm on holidays and I have more time for that. I'm quite curious for today, tomorrow, next couple of days to read, to watch, to listen your opinions. My opinion on my team performance is that every defeat hurts, but for me personally, the ones that hurt less is when you give everything and you go without any regrets. So I prefer to lose like today than to lose like we did, for example, at Newcastle, just to give an example of the season. I leave my players happy with them. I leave the players very happy with them. You know, that's football. That's football. I think our team did a fantastic defensive job without defending. We control the positions very well. We control the transitions really well. They only play long balls to Giroud, to Flick, and then Hazard to get second balls in the individual action. So when you play against a team so predictable, it's quite easy to adapt to it. So I thought we wouldn't concede any goal in this match. But of course, Hazard is a very good player, and he creates the penalty.
Manchester United's manager Jose Mourinho. No trophies for the Red Devils, but the gaffer says he's happy. I don't believe it. Well, we know the success and rich history Manchester United have had, especially when they won the treble in the 90s. Two of the club's former players, Rio Ferdinand and Paul Scholes, reviewed the game, saying it's disappointing to not win anything. Scholesy even said there are teams he would have rather watched throughout the season despite United finishing second.
I said before the game, if you finish the season without a trophy, it's a disappointing one, and I stand by that. Today, yes, I agree that they were the better team in terms of possession, but they had no cutting edge in the team, really. They got a couple of chances. Courtois made a great save 1v1 with Rashford, but other than that, it was a bit powder puff, and they didn't really hurt, they didn't really scare the Chelsea back three. I said before, Rudiger was fantastic, but they looked composed, they looked calm and cool and collected. Cahill in there as well. And if you come to a cup final, you want your team to play well, yes, but you want them to put the other keeper under pressure and make him make loads of saves and really put him...
There was a couple of little incidents. I mean, there was the handball, wasn't there, on Ashley Young, and Graham Poehler said it wasn't clear and obvious.
Second half, the chances came with it as well. I think overall as a season, it's disappointing. When you don't win anything, it's disappointing. Performance-wise, hasn't been great. You said they were the second best team in the league. Points-wise, they were. On the eye, no, not for me. There's two or three teams you'd rather have or you'd rather watch.
You're listening to the FNR NewsHour, and that's BT Sports pundits and former Manchester United players Rio Ferdinand and Paul Scholes after the FA Cup final defeat to Chelsea. Now, both former stars discussed their experiences under Sir Alex Ferguson and how having him in charge for so long was important to their overall success.
I think it's important what he said there as well, in that the players, himself especially, want to see continuity at the club. They want a manager who's going to be here for the long term. This club, the history suggests that they change managers every couple of years. That tells you there that the players don't like that. The players want to see someone they can plan with, they can build with, their structure to the club, and it's a goal that they can live with a manager with. But that hasn't happened yet.
So your success at United came through such a solid period, didn't it? You knew the managers were in charge. You knew he was happy. You knew he was staying. It was up to you then to do your job. And they've not had that luxury.
No, they've not had that. And I don't think they'll ever get that while this man's in charge of the football club. He likes to change. When there's one bad season, that's it. They've gone. They want to bring somebody else in. I think we were lucky having it that way. We always knew. We had spells, you know, don't worry about that. We had spells where we weren't that good. We went two, 3 years without winning stuff. but the manager, his job was never in doubt. It just wasn't a volatile club. He always given time to rebuild a club, rebuild a team, and he managed to always do that. Now with this club, it's interesting, you know, from the goalkeeper, the top goalkeeper, he wants continuity. If he wants continuity, he needs to go somewhere else.
I mean, I remember being at the club when we wasn't winning things. Chelsea came and Mourinho, they won 2 years on the spin. I remember the manager calmly, Sir Alex Ferguson, saying at the time, stick with it. We're in a position of transition. I'll get it right, trust me. They can't do that here. That doesn't happen here. Yeah. So there's a big difference. They've changed managers regular, but what they have been able to do is continue winning trophies. Even if it's one a season, they've continued to do that. So that's why the owner sees it right, because it's worked for him.
The class of 92 and that treble win. Manchester United want to replicate that success again, and this season couldn't be further from it, as could today's climate. Buying big players instead of developing them. And that's what Sir Alex Ferguson did well. He brought them through the academy. But now the game has changed, and apparently you need to spend big in order to keep up. Well, Paul Scholes said Arsenal transfer Alexis Sanchez hasn't shown much, and Manchester United need exceptional players to win.
I think the next few games of next season are vital to him. The first few games of next season are so important to him. He needs to get fans believing again and believing that they're going to get a chance to get close to City, but then they need a big player. They need a...
Well, they bought Paul Pogba last summer, came in for 90 million quid. Romelu Lukaku came in.
Paul Pogba does not win you games on his own.
Alexis Sanchez?
Hazard does. Alexis Sanchez doesn't. He's shown that since January.
They bought him because they thought he could, though, no?
Well, they thought he could, but what we've seen... Now, look, in the future, he may do. If we stick with him, then his performance... Well, they have to improve because they can't get any worse, to be honest with you. But they need this. They need that magical player. Two or three. Two magical players.
So you don't think that they've got those magical players, but they're not being used right. You just don't think they have them.
I think they've got really good players, but they haven't got a Hazard, they haven't got a Ronaldo, they haven't got a Messi. And I know many teams haven't. But the difference in them two teams today was the quality of Hazard. We saw that in big games. United just haven't had that. And I don't. From watching today, I don't think they're too far away. I really don't.
Former Manchester United class of 92 midfielder Paul Scholes saying the Red Devils' first few games of next season are crucial for the club to get anywhere close to Manchester City, their crosstown rivals. This is the FNR News Hour on FNR Football Nation Radio. Let's take a break. Coming up, our play of the day.
Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That's a great goal!
FNR News with Louise Taffer on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to the FNR News Hour, and what an emotional weekend across Europe. In the Serie A, Gianluigi Buffon waved farewell after 17 remarkable years at Juventus.
There's a chance now as Matos, and then Buffon bumped him out of the way. Appeals for a penalty.
Buffon coming up there. This is my final match.
Exactly. Don't ruin my party, please.
Always been an experience in Italy. You just got to go around to hugging and kissing everybody. And why not? It's one of the greats there, Barzagli, of course, with the national team as well. Of course, Barzagli, 2006 World Cup winner. Could we forget that?
Yep.
We did. So we apologise immediately. Was in the squad, wasn't on the starting lineup, but it looks as if Gigi's going to come off now, isn't it? Chance for everybody to bid him farewell. Tears there from the fans as well. Of course, it's just been, as I said before, part of the Italian football scene for so long.
So the moment has come. The tears are flowing here at the Allianz Stadium. Buffon hugging all of his teammates before bidding his farewell to Juventus after 17 years. He will be substituted as he also hugs his opponents.
A few there, he knows Cerchi, knows well. Romolo knows well. And as Verona players as well. Come over and greet him as also, but GG, tough character.
The family in the stands as well.
And takes it well. And he's going to be it.
Carlo Pinsaglio to come on to take the place of Gigi Buffon.
It's a guard of honour there for Gigi as he goes off.
With an outstanding career. And will be remembered well by the many fans that have come to witness his prowess in goal for not only Juventus, also the national team, and his years with Parma to start his Serie A career. And it's a fitting tribute here as the emotion is very high, the tears are flowing, and the crowd all on their feet in this standing ovation for Gianluigi Buffon, the 40-year-old Juventus keeper.
Yeah, thanking everybody.
Exactly. There's so much affection from the fans.
The end of an era. Gianluigi Buffon's time at Juventus has come to an end. The legend did a lap of honour and shook many of the fans' hands in the front row, as well, like those he could reach. But very emotional for Buffon, his teammates, the coaching staff, even the referee, and of course Buffon's children were shedding the tears. Grazie, Gigi. It's been a pleasure to watch you. Well, very similar narrative in the country of Spain at Camp Nou. One of the best midfielders of our time, Andres Iniesta, is departing a club that he's been at since he was just a young boy. Incredible loyalty, humble champion, and more than 660 appearances for football club Barcelona. Iniesta was subbed off in the 82nd minute.
Iniesta, Busquets, you get Mendy on top of him quickly. It falls to Zuzuza. Canales making a run on the right. Yerimina there to intercept. And that was an important block from the Colombian. Yerimendi. Forced back by Ivan Rakitic. This is excellent work from him. Canales with the corner. Swung into the far post. And it's looped over the top by Navas. Well, there's a party atmosphere in the Camp Nou. They'll be staying for a long, long time after the final whistle. We're going to see Paco Alcácer come on and is replacing Andres Iniesta. This is history in the making. The whole of the Camp Nou on their feet. Everybody around the world watching on La Liga TV, please get on your feet and say thank you to Andres Iniesta. We are never going to see his like again. Andres Iniesta leaving the pitch for the last time wearing the red and blue of Football Club Barcelona. The Camp Nou pays homage to the genius of Andres Iniesta. Well, Duncan McMath is wiping a tear from his eye as the little genius goes off. We'll never see his like again, Duncan.
Never. Football's not going to be the same without him. Barca's not going to be the same without him. La Liga's not going to be the same without him. Andres Iniesta. Yeah, it's emotional for us. It's emotional for him. I'm sure for people watching back home. You saw him saying goodbyes to his teammates. I'm sure Jordi Alba had tears in his eyes as he said goodbye to Andres Iniesta.
Well, you can see the faces of the fans in the Camp Nou. There are many, many people who almost can't look. Andres Iniesta, why do you have to leave us now? He's replaced by Paco Alcácer.
The end of another era. The era of Barcelona's legendary midfielder Andres Iniesta. And we will never see that Iniesta-Messi magic again. You'll have to go back to the archives for that now. We are seeing a new wave of players coming through. Liverpool transfer Philippe Coutinho scored a magical goal in Barcelona's 1-0 win against Real Sociedad.
Rakitic carrying him. Rakitic bundled off the ball by the French Basque. Llorente can't see a way through. returns it to Raul Navas, as you can probably tell by the jeers. Semedo to Piquet, Piquet to Rakitic. Rakitic finding Luis Suarez. Now Coutinho. Gerard Piquet. Oh, what a goal from Coutinho! That's the moment of magic that Camp Nou was waiting for. It came out of the blue. Philippe Coutinho cutting inside, getting it on his right foot. It's a Coutinho classic, but we haven't seen too many better than that from the Brazilian. Starting to get more confidence, starting to score goals with his new club, getting one at just the right time. Miguel Angel Moya did not even move to try and stop that one. Well, the emotion getting a bit much for Andres Iniesta there in the dugout. The festivities are going to continue long after the final whistle.
Andres Iniesta now, the name being sung by the fans here at the Camp Nou.
Into the last minute of the season, it's Barcelona 1, Real Sociedad 0. There are enough tears in the Camp Nou to practically sink the city of Barcelona. Emotional moments.
Yeah, they were really emotional moments in the Champions League, weren't they? When Iniesta came off against Roma and he realised that that was the end of his Champions League career. And obviously the same here tonight.
I mean, there's nothing to say. He's not allowed to change his mind, Duncan. We can be optimistic. He's just said in front of the press, I'm going. He can change his mind, can't he? There's no written contract.
Not yet, but I think it's very, very close.
Odriozola in trouble. It's picked up by Leo Messi. He's got Suarez with him. Here's Suarez. Still Suarez can't quite get the return ball. And there's the final whistle. There's the end of the season. Tears in the eyes of Andres Iniesta. It's the end of an era. We've seen Xabi Hernandez leave us. We're seeing Andres Iniesta now leave us. Heaven knows what we're going to do and how we're going to react when Leo Messi leaves us. Barcelona, the champions, they finish with 3 points. Real Sociedad have been a magnificent rival.
Barcelona wrapped up the La Liga title, and Andres Iniesta bids farewell to Camp Nou and the club. Iniesta only speaks Spanish. However, after the match, there was an English translator who was able to catch some of his thoughts after having such a huge club career.
Sí, infinito como...
Well, infinite.
Su definición dice no, no tiene.
Like the definition says, it doesn't have an end.
Es el agradecimiento, es el cariño.
So just thanks for the affection.
Por este club.
Everything I feel for this club.
Bueno, un momento.
Well, a moment. It wasn't easy.
No, no fácil, ¿no? Sabes que es el.
The last moment.
El último momento, el último.
The last minutes.
Los últimos minutos y. Y bueno, ha sido semana.
It was a very emotional week.
You're listening to the FNR NewsHour, and that was one of the Spanish to English translators right next to Andres Iniesta after his final match for Football Club Barcelona. 22 years coming to an end. Well, the final farewell at the weekend was that of Atletico Madrid's attacker Fernando Torres, who on his 404th appearance for the club wrote his own script and scored a double against Eibar.
And now onside through the middle, Fernando Torres at the far post, Ángel Correa rolls it across and Torres has his goal. El Nino has it put on the plate and Atletico de Madrid are level 3 minutes before the half-time break. We shall wait and see as there's a good run through the lines. It's Torres and he's got his second of the game. Wonderful stuff, and that was really hard earned by El Nino. He waited and waited, and that was rolling back the years from the striker, and he scored both goals in his send-off game now.
And when the whistle, the final whistle, we listen to the final whistle, and it's also, as we've been saying, Alfonso Álvarez's last match as a professional. And now, yes, the standing ovation for Fernando Torres for what we all came for.
Una camiseta firmada por toda la plantilla de esta temporada. Ese recuerdo único también para Fernando Torres en este adiós de toda la plantilla del Atlético de Madrid.
You're listening to the FNR NewsHour, and if you're just joining me, I'm bidding farewell to three giants of our game, Gianluigi Buffon, Andres Iniesta and Fernando Torres. The latter, Torres, scored a double on his final appearance for Atletico Madrid, who secured second on the La Liga table. His two goals in that match were his 128th and 129th for Atletico. In truth, the 34-year-old's fairy tale ending had already arrived on Wednesday when he lifted the first his first athletic trophy after a triumphant Europa League final against Marseille. But his double added some extra sparkle in front of his own supporters, who stayed on after the final whistle to watch the team form a guard of honour as the striker left the pitch. Well, it's time to go to the Euro boys, Adriano and Rick, recap how Inter Milan snatched the Champions League spot and all of the action from Germany.
Plenty of action at the top. Now, let's start with Juve. We'll not get this one we'll out gloss of the way, but let's gloss over this one. Juve, Verona, final game of the season, dead rubber, of course, but the match itself marked the end to the career of Gianluigi Buffon, of course, the Juventus captain and goalkeeper and former Italian national team captain, confirming last week that this would be his final match with the Bianconeri. However, as I predicted, Rick, he will go on, potentially. So he has not retired officially from football. However, he has confirmed that there are one or two offers abroad that he is considering, in addition to director roles with FIFA, the Italian Federation, and Juventus. We'll give you our thoughts on that shortly. But for the match itself, marked the end of Buffon's 876-game career there, 395 clean sheets, 11 Italian championships, well, nine to 11, but he's won 11. Two, of course, were withdrawn due to the Calciopolis scandal in the early 2000s. A 12-time goalkeeper of the year, five Coppa Italia titles, and, of course, with the national team that won World Cup in 2006. So his career in Italy over, may play on, but the day itself, remarkable scenes in Torino, a beautiful gesture by the crowd, and it was a stunning evening in Italy. Of course, they celebrated their Scudetto, celebrated with an open-top bus afterwards, after the match was done in the streets. It was a remarkable day for Buffon, and great to see him. He was withdrawn for Pinsolio, a young Juventus goalkeeper who made his debut for the club midway through the second half, and he actually spent the majority of the remaining minutes of the match going around the stadium, as they tend to do in Italy these days, these legends retiring. Del Piero, I recall. Totti, of course, was a famous celebration last season. But Buffon actually went around and greeted every single individual in the front row of the stadium from ground level as if he knew them. It was unbelievable just to see the emotion invested by the players, and the time that Buffon actually spent with everyone was one of the more beautiful moments I've seen in Italian football.
I haven't seen that moment since Del Piero, and that's what this moment brought back. I mean, Del Piero started the streak seven seasons ago when he retired and he was able to lift the Scudetto after everything that he went through, and now Buffon was able to do it once again as the streak continues, hopefully beyond next season. But yeah, you're right, it was a beautiful moment. Juventus seem to be doing these moments really, really nicely. I think they've learned from the Nedved and the Del Piero sagas how to greet and say goodbye to their champions, and this was another perfect one. Perfect send-off.
By far one of the most adored players in Italy and on the planet, Buffon, for some, could not put a foot wrong. Others argue the other way. Irrespective of your take, though, was stunning scenes in Torino for the match, and obviously enjoyed the celebrations that followed. It wasn't as emotional as people were making it out to be, though. Online, on Twitter, I was obviously watching it very closely, but it wasn't as emotional, and I put that down to the fact that he's not retiring. Because when Francesco Totti last season in Rome retired his final match and appearance against Genoa at the Stadio Olimpico, that, also with Del Piero in Torino in 2012, those were moments which were extremely emotional for everyone, obviously, there at the stadium and around the world. This was not as emotional. Obviously, there were tears everywhere, and it was difficult to comprehend the fact that Juventus would be parting ways with their legendary goalkeeper. But the fact that he is going to play on, it doesn't sit right with me and some other fans that I've spoken to about this. Now, Buffon moving to a Paris Saint-Germain, moving to a Liverpool, moving to a Real Madrid, according to the reports, I just feel that, unlike the Italian national team, where it's time to start a new cycle, if the Agnelli family and if Juventus are happy with the performances of Buffon, they have been satisfied with his performances this season, I just don't understand why he would move on. If he has another season or two to play, surely he could continue doing it at club level, at the highest level, if he's capable. If they thought, no, it's time to move on, we need to bring in someone younger, I can understand, as per the Italian national team, with Donnarumma, Perin and the other
guys. As per Szczesny. Szczesny's only mid to late 20s, so you're replacing a 40-year-old legend, yes, he is a legend, with a 28-year-old far more than capable. If he does go to the teams that you've mentioned, Real Madrid, so you've got Keylor Navas, who's mid to late 20s, if not early 30s. Loris Karius at Liverpool and Mignolet, okay, they aren't the greatest keepers, but Karius is mid-20s, Mignolet is more than likely on his way out. Paris Saint-Germain, you've got the president, Al Khelaifi, coming out only 24 hours ago saying, our faith is still with Areola, but we do like Buffon at the same time. Well,
I understand looking after those waiting in the wings at international level. It's very different. You're preparing for international tournaments, which are a couple of years away. But in the case of Juventus, and this is why I say it was emotional, but not as emotional, I just believe that I'm not sold on the fact that this is the right move for Buffon. I think if he wanted to play on one more season, why not just stay at Juve and finish up at Juve? He will always be a Juve legend regardless. But could you imagine in 12 months' time, this weekend, Champions League final, Real-Liverpool. Imagine in 12 months' time we're talking a Juve-PSG Champions League final, the final match for Gianluigi Buffon, and he's in a PSG shirt.
It just wouldn't sit right with anyone, would it?
Oh, it doesn't sit right, and it wouldn't be the right way to go out, irrespective of the result. Imagine PSG beat Juve. Imagine Juve beat PSG.
On penalties, especially.
It'd be a strange, strange set of events, but we'll see what happens. But that's, for me, I'm not so sold that this is the right move for Buffon and for all involved. But regardless, he will go on. Make no mistake, he will go on.
I think we just have to wait and see what move he actually does make. I mean, he has been linked to these clubs, and they are strong rumours. But if he ultimately doesn't, and he ultimately takes up, say, a directorship role, which he was talking about in his final press conference, where he was saying that one of the things he would like to do, and there is a consideration, is to actually get into some sort of directorial role, you know, behind the scenes, whether it be at UEFA, whether it be at FIFA, whether it even be at Juventus, and he has to go through this management and leadership training. He may take that role up and sort of blow any of this discussion out the water and not get into the Monday to Friday type training scenarios with a goalkeeper coach ready for a Saturday or a Sunday match.
He will, but it'll be after another season somewhere else. He'll certainly play on because that's what I'm saying. Even the press conference, his farewell press conference, there was one teammate in the room. Now, I'm not saying that's because of any bad blood, but there was one teammate there present, and that's Giorgio Chiellini, who has been confirmed as the new Juventus captain for next season. But the fact is there wasn't as much emotion as if this weekend was the final time we'd ever see Buffon on the football pitch. And that's the only thing for me why I'm raising this point. Regardless, though, very emotional scenes, a beautiful moment to send off the greatest goalkeeper, arguably in the history of the game. So that's Buffon's time at Juve done. We'll keep you posted on his movements because a decision is expected this week. That will be remarkable. Straight away, if it is a Liverpool or Madrid, it will certainly come post-Champions League final. But here we go, the new chapter to the story about to come. 10-man Lazio miss out on the Champions League. Unbelievable. What a match. What a way to end the season. Inter win it 3-2. Return to the Champions League for the first time in six seasons. Finally, they're back. It's the first time in a long time that Italy have had four clubs in the Champions League. That's why Inter have been missing out. So Inter join Roma, Napoli and Juve, of course, directly in the group stage. No more qualification phase. No more playoff round. Inter go through. And poor old Lazio, the best attack statistically in the competition, one of the most consistent sides. Think about Inter and Roma, some of their patches during the season, how poor they were. But Lazio incredibly miss out with 10 minutes to spare in the final match of the season.
How did Lazio stuff that one up? Well, I'm still trying to work it out. I watched the game very early this morning. I actually got up for one of the rare times to actually watch a Lazio and Inter match. I don't really have too much of an interest in them, but I got up because of how much what was at stake, and I was baffled. How do you go up 2-1? Those two goals were great. Marušić and Anderson, they were great goals. If you actually get a chance to see them, they are great goals, especially Anderson, just how he was able to sort of fleet-foot his way with the through pass and then smack it past Handanović on the first time. It was a great goal. And then all of a sudden, to basically, you know, I hate to say the word, but they essentially choked. It's a horrible way to say it. I mean, Vecino's goal for the 3-2, Milinkovic, 9 times out of 10, had gotten to every one of those headers. The one time he actually missed it was the one that actually cost his side a potential Champions League spot. I mean, you have to feel so bad for them. And unfortunately, Simone Inzaghi's team might actually get ripped apart come the summer. And
you're listening to the FNR NewsHour, and that was our play of the day. But that was from the Euro show, but you can stick around that full show coming up after the news. And before I go, I'm going to leave you with something to think about. Andres Iniesta, 670 appearances for Barcelona, 32 trophies, and no red cards. I'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Thanks for your company.
You just cannot write scripts like this.
FNR News with Louise Taffer on FNR, Football Nation Radio.